Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today by your Spirit, that Spirit of counsel, about temptation and how we deal with temptations in our life, how to recognize it and identify it, as well as to deal with it. In Jesus' name, amen. I have three scriptures I want us to read. This is the sixth in the series, probably the last one, actually, before we start something else. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit as counselor. On Wednesday night, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're in the midst of the power gifts right now, miracles, and we will be moving to prophecy this Wednesday night. But we're looking at the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. One of those things is counsel. And there are three verses, three different scriptures I have here that really point to how the Holy Spirit works in terms of our lives. So I would like for us to read Isaiah 11, 1 and 2 first. Here we go. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And there are six things in there. Now, that's a Christmas scripture, but there are six things that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Read with me John chapter 14. This is what Jesus is talking about in terms of giving us the Holy Spirit as counselor. Here we go. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He continues this down in chapter 16 of John, and let's read it together. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Now, these scriptures kind of point to what the Counselor does, the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at this fall. We've looked at things like doubt and turmoil and fears and things like that. Today, I want to show you how the Holy Spirit gives us counsel concerning temptation in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is our divine counselor, a heavenly psychiatrist, if you will, who gives us counsel concerning the things that torment us and drive us. And he also gives us power to transcend and overcome these things. Today I want to look at the counsel of the Holy Spirit concerning temptation. Now, we have an excellent picture, an example of the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes specifically to temptation, as Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness. And I have Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 10 broken down here, and we're going to read them as we go. After Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and baptized by John, he was led into the wilderness for 40 days. And during that time, he fasted and prayed and meditated on the Word of God and was tempted. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus through that temptation. Now, the way we allow the Holy Spirit to counsel and lead us through temptation is pictured in Jesus' encounter with Satan in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted. Everybody's tempted. Just because we're followers of Jesus does not exempt any of us from the temptations of this life. Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And it was at the direction of the Holy Spirit that the temptation was confronted. Now, when you read this, it kind of reads like a tombstone, but you got to realize that this is real time and there's real things going on here. When it comes to temptation, it will be the presence of the Holy Spirit that will sustain us through our temptation. And many of us may be able to conquer the world, but we have a little bit of trouble when it comes to temptation in our lives. And all of us face temptation, but the truth is most of us do not yet know how to recognize it and then how to resist it and overcome it when it appears. So let's let the Holy Spirit kind of identify temptation for each of us personally today and then begin to move in us to overcome that temptation as it appears. First, what is temptation? A very good human definition for temptation comes right out of the dictionary, and I want to give it to you. The act of enticement to do wrong by promise of pleasure or gain. Let me say that again. The act of enticement to do wrong by promise of pleasure or gain. In other words, temptation motivates me to do bad or to do wrong by promising to me something good, and it comes from Satan. Now, temptation is dealt with in the same way that we talked about. We deal with fear, we deal with doubt, we deal with turmoil, and it sounds rather cliche, but in fact, this is the way you deal with it. We deal with temptation through Scripture, through prayer, and meditation. We deal with temptation by letting the Holy Spirit be our wonderful counselor and allowing Him to identify it and lead us through that temptation. Jesus was tempted, and He used prayer and meditation and Scripture. And it sounds cliche, but it's all there in Scripture, but we read it like a tombstone. You forget that there's a date born and a date died, but right in the middle there's that dash. And that dash is where we live. All temptation will fall into three categories. All temptation is represented in the three temptations that Jesus faced. And Jesus' temptation is a good picture for us to use in our personal life. So let me identify the three basic temptations that we face that entice us to sin. And the first basic temptation is when Jesus was tempted to turn the stones into bread. Read with me Matthew 4, 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Once again, reading this is kind of like reading a tombstone, but let me tell you, there's real stuff going on here, and there's 40 days involved in this. And notice it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit. So this was planned. Jesus has fasted for 40 days. He hasn't eaten much, obviously. And Satan says, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Change these stones into bread. Besides, you're hungry and you deserve some food. Besides, it's okay. There's nobody around here. Nobody's going to know that you even do this. And you're going to die if you don't eat. And the temptation is this. We sacrifice long-term gain for immediate gratification. Let me show you how this works in our lives. We all have appetites. Every one of us. We have hungers. We have needs. We need food. We need love. We need something to satisfy our thirst. We need to take care of ourselves. None of which is wrong in and of itself. But there comes a time when Satan, our adversary, will come and say, you know, enough is enough. You have rights too. If you don't do something about this, nothing's going to happen. And it plays out kind of like this. I've been on this diet for 3 weeks and I have been good about it, so I think I'll splurge tonight. There goes the diet. I realize that I want to quit smoking, but this one won't hurt. And besides, I've been working hard, and I'm under a lot of stress in my job. And then that person is back smoking as much as ever. A man is on a business trip, and a good-looking girl entices him. Boy, I know I'm married, but I have this desire, and who will know? And she's good looking and friendly, and I'm lonely. I need some companionship. And so it goes. The hunger is real, and so is the temptation. A kid in a store sees a toy, and nobody's looking, and he thinks to himself, boy, I really would like that. In fact, I need that. And nobody's going to looking. I think I'll just stick it in my pocket. And so it goes. Hunger for something entices us. High school kids says, well, I know I'm supposed to be home at 11 o'clock, but I think I'll be a few minutes late. We stay out a little later. And friends, we succumb to this lie. I really do want this thing. I was created to eat. There are some things we just need, and after all, I'm only human. And Jesus, anointed with the Holy Spirit by the counsel of the Holy Spirit, met and struggled with this basic temptation of hunger for immediate gratification. Now, through his time in the wilderness, in prayer and meditation, he met this temptation, and he meets it with Scripture. If you'll notice here, I realize it's real brief. Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but the stuff of this life, but by the word of God. Jesus did not challenge the fact that he had hunger, that it was real, because it was. He simply said, I am not going to submit to my hungers. I have other things that need to be dealt with in my life, and I will not be tempted into sacrificing those things just for some short-term gratification. And that hunger may be driving me pretty hard, but I'm here to tell you I don't need to break down to it. Now, I'll tell you what, friends, there are a host of us who trade in eternal bread for turning rocks into bread and then calling that a miracle. We give in to our hungers, our needs, and we lose long-term things that we want or need in our life. And the counsel of the Holy Spirit can be received by prayer and meditation and scriptures. But you know what? Most of us don't really do a whole lot of that. But that will keep us from a lot of temptations in this life. Now, there's one other aspect of this particular temptation that we don't think much about. But it is the temptation to quit, or to rest, or to stop. We deserve a break today. And therefore, we sit down. And we no longer do what we know we should be doing, or what we might be helpful for us to do. We just take a break. It's as simple as, I know I ought to be going to church this morning, but I'm just not going to get up. I'm too tired. I need a break today. And so you don't go. A man and his wife are sitting in a living room discussing a living will, and the husband made his point. He says, just so you know, I never want to live in a vegetative state dependent on some machine and fluids from a bottle. If that ever happens, I want you just to pull the plug. So his wife got up, unplugged the TV, and threw out all the beer. And so it goes. But I think a lot of times just not doing anything is a temptation. And we give in to it. I deserve a break today. The second basic temptation is shown to us when Satan takes Jesus up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem, and he says, now throw yourself off, Jesus. This temptation plays out this way. Satan is basically saying this, look, you are the Messiah. You need to do something. I mean, you look just like everybody else. You need to do something to verify who you are, and so people will look, and they'll say, look, hey, it's Messiah man. I mean, really, read with me verses 5 to 7. Here we go. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. By the way, notice here that Satan is using Scripture against him. So you need to know your Scriptures in terms of how things work. But the temptation is this. Jesus, if you don't do something, these people will never recognize you. And you got to hear that for the sake of recognition. And if they don't recognize you, how can they accept you for who you are? And you got to hear that too, for the sake of acceptance. And if you take those two words, recognition and acceptance, and you know they're the very things that everybody here, all of us need. Recognition and acceptance. In other words, recognition and acceptance is something we all need, but it is the second major point of temptation in our lives because it is a need that can lead us into sin. We all need recognition and acceptance. We all need to be somebody. Someone to some group or some person or a group of people. We all need that. But temptation comes early and we start selling out in terms of our lives. The small child begins by throwing temper tantrums to get recognition and acceptance, and we call it getting attention. It all boils down to notice me. I am somebody, and if you don't recognize that, I will get your attention by lying on the floor and screaming bloody murder. Anybody ever seen a kid do that? For acceptance and recognition, kids will start smoking or drinking at an early age just to be accepted by the group. An adult male will hit midlife crisis around 40. He'll go out and he'll buy a flashy car, which might as well have stamped on the side of it, notice me. Recognition and acceptance. In order to be accepted into a group, a woman will go out and buy some very expensive clothes and jewelry, which she really can't afford, and so that she will be in that upper crust and be noticed. The person in the job place looking for recognition and a feeling of importance, and they, I am somebody, and they try to overthrow other people in the job place. This temptation has to do with social and peer pressure. We can all fall into the trap. We talk about kids falling into peer pressure, but we adults are not very far removed from the whole thing. It may be a little bit more subtle, but it's there nonetheless, and we deal with it. The old saying, keeping up with the Joneses, is a pretty good example of that. The point of the temptation, though, is to keep us from our true identity and our acceptance and recognition in God's eyes, and we substitute that for that true identity for the identity that the world will put on us, or we want the world to put on to us, because we want to be recognized for who we are, because I am somebody. And as I said, we all need to be accepted and recognized. We all need some attention. The quest for acceptance and recognition is very real for all of us. And it becomes temptation and sin when we are seduced away from our true acceptance of God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and we succumb to the world's ideas of recognition and acceptance. The third temptation is the temptation to be God. Now, we would say, oh, I don't want to be God. You know, really? The temptation is actually about power and control. I wonder if I have any control freaks here. I won't ask for hands. That's a rhetorical question. But I know you. I know myself for that matter. Control freaks, pay attention. It's power over people, power over the world. The temptation is to be Lord over all the earth, or at least my little piece of it. Satan said to Jesus, the world is yours, Jesus. You can rule. You can have all the power over this world. Forget this Calvary business. I mean, really, this dying to self for others. The servant business is of being someone who helps others. You don't have to do that kind of stuff. You can be King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. You don't have to go through all that, but you must bow to me. Read with me verses 8 to 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Remember, it was Jesus who led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Remember that it's scripture and prayer and meditation is what he's really doing out there. And he uses scripture once again. The temptation to lord it over other people and control them. It starts early. The brother who beats up on his younger brother to have power over him. The kid who beats up other kids in school to lord it over him. The whole problem we have with bullying in school is just that, power and control. The high school gang that is called the Lords, and they can, so they can rule in a school or a neighborhood. The businessman whose ambition is to get as much money as possible so that he can rule in his little domain, his world. Because money is power, and the boss who sexually harasses the secretarial pool because he has power over them and controls them. This whole thing with Weinstein that's been on the news lately, what do you think that is? That's the third temptation given in to sin. That's a man who is doing exactly that. He wants to be lord over himself, and he's being brought down now. The employee who tries to take out the boss who is above him or her in order to get their job. The minister who runs roughshod over the people to get his way. The church that tries to tell the pastor what to talk about from the pulpit. It all has to do with this quest for power and control. It's a quest to be like God. That's the temptation. The husband who abuses his wife and children and beats them into subjugation, either verbally or sometimes physically. The wife who continually wears on her husband and beats him into submission over the years to get her way by using her tongue. The quest for power to get my way. The temptation here is to receive power for personal gratification. For self, that's the provision of Satan, and the result is that we end up on our knees before the serpent himself, and instead of receiving the reward of the purpose and power that God will give us in his purpose for our lives. The whole thing about this third category of temptation is asking yourself, am I serving God or Satan in this life? Am I serving God or myself in this life? Who do I really worship and give my life to? Do I give it to God? Do I give it to myself? Or by chance, hand it over to Satan? And in each of us, there is this sleeping inclination towards desire which can come upon us, and it can hit us like a tidal wave, and it can seize control over us in some area of our lives. And it's like fire in the flesh. It can be sexual desire, it could be ambition, a grudge payoff, or vanity, or a desire for revenge, or a desire to destroy a person through gossip, or desire for fame or power or control or money or greed or food or booze or just a piece of chocolate cake. Or just giving in and quitting. What happens in these moments is that God becomes very unreal to us. Now, you need to hear this. what happens to us is that God becomes unreal. And the desire is to fulfill the creature in us. And that's what's real. And God becomes unreal. You know, Satan does not cause us to hate God, just to forget him. What happens in temptation is that Satan puts us in a privileged position which says, you know, you deserve this. You deserve a break today. You deserve a break this week, this year, this decade, this lifetime. You deserve a break. And Satan tries to put us in a privileged position just the same way that he tried to put Jesus in a privileged position. Jesus, since you are the Son of God, you deserve this. And these temptations run from the guy who parks in two parking spaces because he thinks he deserves two spaces. Because he is somebody, and I am driving this car, and I don't want anybody touching it. To the guy who kills 6 million Jews in the desire to rule the world because he needs to be somebody. There's a pathway to and through temptation. And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he was tempted. We're given a really good picture of how we can make our way through that pathway. And it is the pathway that is best followed with the Holy Spirit as counselor. The Holy Spirit, through prayer and meditation and Scripture, will lead us to give the same answers that Jesus gave to Satan. Jesus used Scripture to fight the temptation as he meditated and he prayed about his purpose and his identity. And the Holy Spirit will help us work through temptation that comes because of our need for recognition, acceptance. The Holy Spirit will help us work through the temptations that come because of the things that pull at our hungers, the things that drive us. The Holy Spirit will help us discover our proper relationship as servant in this world and stewards of what we have and what it means to have power and when we do have power and use that power. And the Holy Spirit will also show us the temptation to use power as selfishness. The Holy Spirit is our counselor and our might. The answer to temptation is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I would like for us to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But before you do that, I want you to look at the front of this cover. The front of this cover is not truth. There's something missing here that this cover doesn't show. And I don't know whether the people who designed this cover did it on purpose or not, but it's missing something. Read with me Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now you want to look at the front of the cover? What's missing? The last two are missing, gentleness, but self-control's missing. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are all these things that are on the front cover, but there is also this fruit called self-control. When we are tempted but are led and guided and counseled by the Holy Spirit and allow our lives to be under the will of the Spirit, we will produce a fruit of the Spirit known as self-control. You know, I have a really nice car. It'll drive 100 miles an hour, I'm sure of it. But you know what? If it had no brakes, it would be pretty scary. All our cars, if the brakes go out, you got problems. If the brakes go out on us, self-control, we got problems. Temptation is overcome by an inner strength and mastery of ourselves in areas of weakness and temptation. And it is the Holy Spirit, that wonderful counselor, who guides us through that temptation. And when temptations come, prayer and reading the Bible and meditation helps us deal with these things. And it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, self-control. When we are facing temptation, whatever it is, we are in a sense going through hell on earth, and there is a war that is going on inside of every one of us. And it's a battle for the things that are you in reality. Temptations are overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit doing that inner battle on your behalf. And a lot of times it has to do with self-control. So when temptations come, be strong and courageous in self-control. For we have a counselor who is mighty in battle and guides us through the real struggles of life. And most of those struggles are also on the inside of us. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, lead us through, well, the things that we face in this life. And that we would be aware of the need to know the scripture that you give to us to handle those times. In Jesus' name, amen.